And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 124 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you have...
We don't have anything.
No business.
No business.
We got no business.
No biz.
All right. So we just go straight to it?
Yeah. What are you working on?
All right. It's been pretty boring for me. All right. I'm still...
Great.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so I did a... something I've been meaning to do for the longest time, I finally warped my rigid head loom with a random sock yarn warp where I just took little, like my littlest bits and did, I was doing like a 9-foot warp. And so I realized that like I had saved little bits of sock yarn that were not even 3 yards long. Like I had ones that I couldn't even make it to the peg.
That's funny.
And as I'm walking like halfway across the room and running out of yarn, I was just like, Jessica, what is wrong with you? Why did you even save this? So I threw out a lot of little tiny bits that I'd been hanging on to for some perverse reason. So I did the warp and I started to weave it using some Zephyr, like wool silk lace weight as the weft. But I started to weave it and I was like, this part's boring. And I set it aside and I haven't gone back to it. So it's not done yet. But I'm curious to see how much yarn it will have used up when it's all said and done. And then continuing in my using up little bits of sock yarn, I knit a pom-pom chevron hat, which is a free pattern on Ravelry. Although mine does not have a pom-pom. And I discovered only after I had finished it that, like many other Ravelers, it makes a really small hat. So I would definitely have made it bigger if I were to do it again.
What yarn is it?
It was in sock yarn. It was the one I was working on the last time because you were like, those aren't your usual colors because kind of autumn-y.
So fingering weight?
Yeah, or it wasn't even the last time. I started it like 2 podcasts ago,
oh, okay.
But then I had to rip it out because I twisted the cast on. So yeah, it's sock yarn. So I just did it in
what's
a little...
Do you remember the cast on number?
I don't... I was going to say it was like 120.
Because that makes sense. I wonder if
it just also... It makes it really short. It's a really short hat.
Oh, really short. Okay.
And I... Even as I was doing it, I was like, maybe you should put a few more repeats in here. And I was like, it's not for me, so I don't really... I wasn't like really wedded to the size it ended up being.
I mean, people have all different sizes heads.
Right.
So that's fine, but...
So I was just like, okay. But it came... It was really cute, and it was totally not my color. So I did it in like yellows and... kind of autumn-y brown and
I
orange.
It was really pretty.
I mean, actually, I really like the way it turned out.
It's
I think the colors work well together. It's just not the colors that I gravitate toward, but I think it worked out well. And then, let's see, and then I knit a little plain hat with my friend Kate's. I'm still going through her old handspun stash.
Mm-hmm.
I have a giant bag of it still. So I did a plain handspun hat. And then with little oddballs of handspun of hers, I just did a helix hat in handspun. And what I'm knitting right now is another, like, used little bits of sock yarn. I'm doing a helix, but I'm doing it in an infinity cowl. So I just did a provisional cast on, and I'm just knitting on a size 16 circular around and around and around until I think it's long enough, and then I'll graft it all together. I didn't plan it out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've done this, I'm doing it on a 6 because I wanted it to be really loose.
And drapey.
And drapey, but now I realize I probably should have done it on a slightly smaller needle and also done fewer stitches because it's much bigger than it needs to be. And had I done it on a smaller needle, I could just knot the ends and not have to weave them in. Because at this looser gauge, like if I try to just knot it, it's going to show.
Pucker.
It's going to show. I'm just grabbing little
random skeins
and I'm just going to keep going. And it's perfect. Brainless, super brainless knitting. And then I also cast on for a Groovalists, and I don't remember who the designer is, but it's kind of a triangular, shallow triangle shawl. That is,
what?
I was going to say triangle-ish.
Shallow-ish.
And then
triangle
I was like, shallow. Yes, yeah, shish. I don't know what I'm saying. It's a
That's
shallow
great.
Triangle.
Okay.
Shallow triangle.
All right.
Knit tip to tip.
Okay.
With chevron stripes, because I'm all about the chevron stripes. And it's gaugeless. Can be knit in any weight, but the original one was done in Aran weight. And I had, at my November retreat, I'd gotten a couple of bags of oddballs of Manos Wool Classica, which I always used to say was my desert island yarn. And I I still love it. I just love knitting with it. And so mine is going to be a little more randomly stripey than the original one. But it actually requires me to read a pattern as opposed to this that I can just like pick up and just knit around and around. So I have been gravitating toward knitting around and around these last few weeks because work has been crazy. And that's everything I'm doing right now.
Cool.
Easy. You. How are you doing? What are you doing?
What am I doing? Right now I'm working on a sock.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing the Box O Socks knit along, which is, Kristen of the Yarngasm podcast. Mm-hmm. She hosted one last year. I don't have a box for my socks yet. You're supposed to get like a nice little box or basket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then knit 12 socks. And then at the end of the year, you have like a little box of 12 new pairs of socks.
Okay.
So this is my second pair. And I am just knitting a plain vanilla sock with this like kind of zigzaggy little panel.
Twisted stitch panel there.
It's not even twisted.
Oh, it's not?
It's just cables. It's just a little cable. Reverse stocking it, so.
Cool.
And this is fun yarn. I called them Hubba Bubba on Gravelry because they remind me of Hubba Bubba gum. And it's, the yarn is
like
Oink Pigments. And the color is Bubblegum Blues. And it's Oink Pigments Sock, which is Super Wash Merino. And I got it the last stitches I went to. It's bright blue, like artificial blue, with pink.
Like blue raspberry.
Yeah,
blue raspberry. With little slashes of pink through it.
It looks very nice with my LaCroix can.
With your LaCroix can, yes. It matches very well.
So,
cute.
Yeah, it's mostly stockinette and just this little panel of zigzaggy business, but I really like them, and I really like knitting with this yarn. Like, it feels like a firm gauge, but it's like the perfect weight of fingering, I think. It's like not too thin and not too thick. It's just really nice.
Cool.
Enjoying it. I passed the heel on the first one and just finished my gusset decreases. So that's going.
All right.
And then what else am I working on? I'm working on a Skyping beanie. Oh, that's a free pattern. I forgot to write down who it's by.
Oh.
For Black Lives Matter March.
Oh,
they're asking for black hats, so I'm knitting a few. Andy had a few skeins of this Valley Yarns Northfield, which is really nice. It's a DK weight that's like really round and bouncy, and it's merino silk and alpaca, I think.
Oh,
so it'll relax. It'll be really good for hair with some like texture in it because the silk won't cling, you know? And that's just like a textured beanie. That's really simple. But it's black yarn, so, I mean, I tried to cast on when I was sick. It didn't go so well. So I cast on, like, the third time worked, and I'm, like,
at
the
very
tippy
top.
I'm on the DPN, so.
Yeah.
I'll finish it tonight. So I'm working on that, and I have enough to knit another one, but I think I'll do, like, the same cast on and rib, and then just do stockinette instead of, it's, like, in a broken rib. Just because plain stockinette's easier. And I'm almost done with Goldfinch by Andrea Mowry. It's a shawl, three-color shawl that is knit in sport weight yarn, and it has short rows that are garter, and then some with yarn overs, and then stripe sections. So I used yarn that I pulled out of my stash when I did my, like, stash reorganization. And I'm using Spin Cycle Dyed in the Wool in the Pussy Willow color, which is like bright yellow and gray and black. And then Wolf Oak Tinned, which is the fingering weight.
Yeah.
And I think the colors are Dove and Pewter. It's colors 4 and 2. But it's a light gray and a dark gray. And I knew I was going to run out of the Dyed in the Wool. And I was like, well, I'll just like end it with the striping, the two grays, but it's kind of boring, so I'm going to pick up another skein of the Pussy Willow and finish it up as written. So I'm, like, to the end striping section. Like, I knit all of it, except for the past, like, the last garter striping section.
Wow, that went really fast.
Yes, because I knit it mostly when I was sick.
Ah, okay.
And I would be done if I had all the yarn I needed, which... I'm going to pick, I think Spin Cycle's going to, they're usually at Madrona.
Yeah. Or their stuff is usually at Madrona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw them last year. Mm-hmm. So I'll just pick it up there. And if not, there's shops in town that carry it. Yeah. So, but I really like it and I'm excited to block it. Mm-hmm. It was just such a nice thing to knit when I was feeling crummy. I was like, oh, the colors made me happy. And the yarns feel so nice. And it was just like the perfect thing. Uh-huh. Yeah, good. It's great. And I finished, last time I was knitting some plain vanilla socks in Hey Lady Hey baby cakes, I think. Yes. Which is now called something else.
Right.
And I think it's called Hey Cupcake. That color on a different base or something. Yeah. So it's a plain vanilla sock, but I decided to do a reverse stockinette gusset and just cut those reverse stockinette stitches to the toe.
Oh.
So it's all stockinette and it's just got this like kind of cool reverse stockinette detail. Simple.
Yep.
You know. And then I knit Salal by Andy Sutherland from the Mild Weather issue of Stranded Magazine. Knit that in Hazelnuts Cadence in the navy color. So it's a navy sweater. And I was talking about taking it out of town with me. And if I could knit the whole thing in like 3 days. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I knit the whole body in 3 days.
There you go.
And then it took me like the rest of that week to knit the sleeves and the button band. And I blocked it and I snipped the yarn ends last night, so I need to get buttons for it.
Oh.
So I'm trying to figure out if I just want navy or if I want maybe silver. Mm-hmm. Or bronze might be nice. I haven't decided yet.
Decisions.
Well, that's what I've been knitting.
Cool.
Not a ton, but I mean, I knit a whole sweater.
Yeah. Not a ton. Just a whole sweater and a pair of socks and another pair of socks.
Most of a hat. You know?
Yeah, you know.
So.
Cool.
I have a lot of books to talk about.
Okay, I don't have a lot. I finished Americana by, I'm always afraid, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, I think so. I'd only just started the last time I mentioned it. It was fantastic. It's the story of a woman who came to America from Nigeria as a student and lived in the States for about a decade. And she has decided to return to Nigeria and but then the book kind of takes you, like you see her, it jumps around in time. So you see her former high school boyfriend in current day Nigeria. You see his experience as an immigrant in England. You go back to her immigrant experience in America. So it jumps around quite a bit, and ends up, having a lot to say about, it ends up being incredibly timely. It has a lot to say about immigrant experiences, a lot to say about race, about class, both in the US, in England, in Nigeria. There is sort of a section of the book that is all about the anticipation within the African American community in the run-up to Obama's election as president. Mm-hmm. It ends up being incredibly timely given the current political situation. So, but what I loved about it, though, is just her writing. Her writing is immensely, the word I just keep coming back to, it's just effortless. You don't feel the hand of the writer, she's somehow incredibly effective and incredibly evocative without you feeling like she's doing anything. And it's like kind of impossible for me. Like I can't point to anything in the book of like this section, this sentence, this paragraph, like this is how she made this so effective. It's just sort of everywhere and nowhere. It's just this really, fantastic writing style.
Your reading list.
Yeah. We all loved it.
That was your book club book.
Yeah, it was a book club book. We all really loved it. I'm so glad I read it. I really would be interested to read some of her other books as well. I know she has another one that's called Half a Yellow Sun that I think is set entirely in Nigeria. But it's just, it was really fascinating. It was a great view. I mean, because her character as, as a non-American black person has a very interesting take on viewpoint on race in America, because she says, like, there is no race in Nigeria. Like, no one talks about race in Nigeria because you're in a nation where everyone is black. So
yeah.
It was sort of a new thing to experience in America, but that she had a very different perspective on it than African-Americans she would meet. Anyway, so it's just interesting. It's a very interesting book, and it's really well, incredibly well written. I enjoyed it a lot. And our next book is going to be Maria Semple's Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which she's a Seattle area writer, and it's, I think it's a book a lot of people have read. It's pretty light, kind of farce-ish, not...
Yeah, she did. Maria Semple just came out with a new book, too.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Like, Today Will Be Different or something like that.
Yeah, I saw the Elliott Bay book come up there.
So far it's not really grabbing me. It seems very fluffy, you know, it's just like kind of silly, and after reading a book that was so profound, it's like, oh, this is good. I mean,
just consider it like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, so I gotta devote myself to actually reading it.
Yeah,
so.
When I went and saw Carrie Brownstein's book reading thing, Maria Semple was the one who was interviewing her, and they were she has a really great sense of humor. And they had really good energy, so.
Cool.
So it was cool.
So you've got a big old list.
I was talking about Dark Entries by Robert Aichman last time, about like supernatural, creepy, weird stories. I finished that and I liked it. I felt like the first story was like the most freaky, which is kind of a good way to like start it off. But they were all kind of dark and interesting in their own way. And there was a wide variety of like creepy subject matter. So I was really happy with it. And it was a quick read. I used to not like short stories, and now I'm like, oh, I can get through one or two in an evening, and I feel really accomplished.
Yeah.
It's like potato chip knitting, you know? So, I finished that and I liked it. And I'm reading Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury, which is about two boys in a small town, and this creepy carnival comes to town, and weird stuff starts happening, and the boys are kind of the only people who knows that the carnival has kind of...
something to do with what's going on.
Yeah. So I'm most of the way done with that, and I like it. I love Ray Bradbury. I think he's a great author, and I can read more of his stuff because I haven't read a ton, but I really like this. His descriptions of things are really interesting, like how he describes things are different.
Huh.
It's really different and interesting. Yeah, so I like that. Also weird and creepy.
Always a plus.
I'm reading The Psychopath Test by Ron Johnson, which is a nonfiction book.
Yeah, it's
the guy who wrote The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically about his journey figuring out, through research and interviews and stuff, what a psychopath is, and questioning who is a psychopath and who isn't. It's really interesting. And I like that it's kind of a personal journey nonfiction, because I find that some nonfiction that's just, like, all research all the time, they're kind of, can be really dry, and I get kind of lost, like, partway through, like, I have to read this. I mean, I don't have to, but this one... The way he writes it makes it feel very personal, and I like that. And also psychopaths are really interesting.
Yeah.
I
think when that came out, This American Life had done a thing where they, like, everyone, like, got tested to see, like, who was a psychopath on the staff and everything. But, yes.
I just remembered something else I watched. Hold on a sec. Talking about psychopaths reminded me.
Oh. All right.
I started listening to a couple new podcasts I want to talk about. They're like, one is called My Favorite Murder. So if you haven't heard of this, you're probably living under a rock.
Because
it just experienced like a popularity boom.
Yeah.
It's two girls from California, and they just talk about their favorite murders, as in serial killings and basically true crime type things. Mm-hmm. Cold cases, like old cold cases and current cases and stuff. And sometimes they choose themes. And they're pretty irreverent. And it's really, like, super dark humor because they, you know, they talk about these horrible things. And the way they make it, like, just not make you want to cry is by having a sense of humor about it. Mm-hmm. They also drop the F-bomb a lot, which I am a fan of. But if you don't like murder and you don't like cursing, then it's not the podcast for you. But I'm finding it very enjoyable. and one of the girls is from Petaluma, which is in Northern California. Yes. I used to go there to see shows. So there's a whole lot of serial killers weird murders in Northern California.
My only association with Petaluma is Polly Klass.
Yes.
The kidnapping of Polly Klass. So,
by Richard Allen Davis. When that happened. So if you like true crime, that'd be a good one. And another one that's kind of like Serial, but it's not really true crime. This one was like a missing, like a kid disappeared. It's called Someone Knows Something. And it's put, I can't remember the man's name, but it's recorded for the CBC, like the Canadian Broadcasting Company. So he has an adorable accent. Everyone has an accent, but the first one is about, takes place in what, he goes back to his hometown to kind of see if he can figure out what happened to this 5-year-old boy who disappeared on a fishing trip with his dad and siblings and his dad's friend. So he like talks to new people. He goes out to the lake where they were fishing. He tries to track down like what might have happened. And then the first series is 10 episodes. And it's good. The quality's really high. And it reminds me a lot of Serial. Mm-hmm. But I think they're... and there's a second series. I think they're both about, you know, like, disappearances or murders or something. Uh-huh. So I recommend that. That was really good. And I think I heard of that one from the My Favorite Murder Girls.
Oh. Okay.
Karen in Georgia.
Yeah. I know Cerulea loves My Favorite Murder.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
And they were on, like, Slumber Party and
A
bunch of other... they've been, like, guests on other podcasts, so, cool. Those kind of creepy things. And then another kind of creepy, I listened to this audiobook called Prophets Pray by Sam Brower, and it's about the FLDS, so that's a fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, which are, like, the polygamous Mormon.
Right, which is not the Mormon Church.
It's not the Mormon Church.
It's, like, a fringe offshoot.
Yeah.
Kind of cult.
Extreme.
Yes, extreme.
Extreme Mormonism based on, well, it's like when the Mormon Church decided they were not going to say that polygamy was one of their tenets, that there was this other kind of offshoot that happened. Mm-hmm. And Sam Brower, who's the author of the book, was one of the private detectives who went in and started working with some of the families to bring Warren Jeffs up on charges of racketeering, money laundering, and, like, child endangerment.
Welfare fraud.
And welfare fraud, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So that's pretty interesting. And then that led me to another book called Escape.
I know.
Woo! Yeah, called Escape by Carolyn Jessup and Laura Palmer. And Carolyn Jessup, she's a woman who is married to, not Warren Jeffs, one of the other... guys, and she escaped and left the church. So this is it's about her life in the FLDS and being married to a man who's 30 years her senior and then leaving like halfway through.
All right. Well, I feel like I mean, I usually feel like a slacker when we get to the book section, but thanks for making me feel extra bad.
Well, only three of those are actual books, and I listen to headphones pretty much all day at work.
Okay.
So I make it through audiobooks and podcasts pretty quickly.
I feel a little less bad. All right.
It's like I'm doing other stuff, but I have like 8 hours a day where I can listen to headphones at work, basically, and pretend I'm not there.
So for watching, I started a thread on the DoubleKnit group, and thank you all very much because I had just gotten into like, I hit a rut.
A funk.
funk. I still haven't finished season two of Daredevil. Every time I try to watch it, I'm like, this is so boring. It's so stupid. I can't take it. So I think I had mentioned I'd been watching Fresh Meat when the last time we recorded.
Which is the one that Wes doesn't like, right?
Yes. It's very silly, very body, like college humor. Reminds me a lot of Undeclared, which is a short-lived Judd Apatow series that most people probably haven't watched anyway. But so, from that, though, I had asked, like, what do people have to recommend? And someone said, oh, you should watch Crashing if you liked Fleabag. And then they were like, and Fleabag if you haven't seen it. And then I was like, oh, right, I didn't mention that last time that I had watched Fleabag, which is, it's available on Amazon. It's a British series, and I can't remember the actress who also, I think, wrote most of it. But it's the sort of show it's going to, I mean, you'll know if it's your show within the first 4 minutes, because it will either like completely make you laugh or completely turn you off. The main character is a terrible train wreck of a person. there's a lot of sex in it. A lot of frank discussion of sex in it. And it's kind of hard to, she's sort of a 20 something in a bit of a moment of personal crisis, just a number of things in her life sort of all coming to a head, most of which she is responsible for, just making terrible choices and generally being a bad person. And it all kind of crashing down on her. But it's hilarious. If you can get, you know, if you can laugh at / with the terrible person, which I really enjoyed. So the star of that is in this other show, Crashing, and Crashing to me is sort of like the show in between Fresh Meat and Fleabag. And it was the one that one of our listeners had suggested, and it's about a group of people who live in, what do they call them? They're called like, I can't remember what the term is for it, but they basically are living in properties, like they're all living right in a defunct hospital, mm-hmm. Where they're like allowed to be tenants of it until it gets like torn down, and then they move on to the next sort of like public space thing. So it's sort of this kind of crazy, like 20 somethings communal living thing about the relationships of the people within it. It's pretty broad comedy. It's pretty funny. I enjoyed it a lot, but there's like only like 6 episodes and then it's over. And then you're like, but I was so enjoying that. And that's the one that, the actress who played
Raquel
in and Crazy Head is in that as well. And so
that Raquel is also that actress. I can't
remember what her name is.
No, she's in that other weird British comedy called Chewing Gum.
Yeah,
she's in that as like the sister.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet. Sister.
I watched the first 2 episodes. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if this is my kind of humor.
Oh yeah,
it seems like it should be. But it's, I don't know. I haven't gone back to it, so.
Anyway, but I enjoyed all of those. Really mindless, funny, silly, off-color. Then we watched Series of Unfortunate Events.
And
we did that as, like, family viewing, which was kind of nice to get our younger son to watch with us.
Neil Patrick Harris is so great.
I have, like, nothing but great things to say about what they did. I mean, I didn't read the books because I'm totally the wrong age for it. And my kids weren't quite the right age for it either. But it's so impeccably done. The visuals are great.
It's what I wanted the movie to be, and the movie wasn't. So I was highly skeptical, but it's really good. And there's some really funny, like, pardon me, I'm getting over being sick. If I sound like huskier than usual. There's some great adult humor.
So much like stuff. There's so many moments where Wes and I will like look at each other. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we were stopping to kind of like review with our son, like, did you get what they were saying? But other times the number of times Wes and I just like looked at each other like, oh my God, did you catch that? Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there and a lot of really like meta stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is great. Patrick Warburton is great. But they have a great supporting cast as well, mm-hmm. and the art direction's fantastic. And
John Cusack is really good.
I really enjoyed it. I was like looking forward to each episode, and like kind of had a bit of ennui when it ended, and I was just like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah,
they're gonna do another season.
Oh, good. The visuals remind me of a mashup of Wes Anderson and... Oh, what was the other person I was just thinking of? There's somebody else I was thinking of.
Like that Edward Gorey with Wes Anderson. Yeah, because yeah. It is very Wes Anderson-y. Like I don't even know if it's done with like models or it's just like faked to look like models. Like everything's very unreal looking, but in this sort of perfect manicured way. The visuals are fantastic. And but I enjoyed it. I mean, it has a great sense of humor. It's definitely not for little kids. It's kind of dark.
Watching with Audrey. She's 8 and she really liked it. Yeah. But I think any younger than that and they, kids wouldn't really get anything.
Yeah. They wouldn't get what was happening and it would just be like kind of weird and upsetting, I think for smaller children.
Yeah. But she liked it. She liked all the lizards and the snakes and such.
I also watched The Nice Guys, which is currently on HBO, I think, which is a Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe set in the 70s detective movie, but detective comedy, which is very funny and very silly. And I did enjoy that one a lot as well. It's kind of nice to see Ryan Gosling, like, not taking himself seriously. And then I just finished watching a series that I liked so much, and I couldn't believe that I did. And I don't even know what prompted me to start watching it. It is The Grindr. It has the worst log line ever that when I heard they were making it, I was like, who the heck is going to watch that? That sounds terrible.
You.
I know. Well, so Rob Lowe stars as Dean Sanderson, who is an actor who was the star for 8 years on a TV law show called The Grindr. And he's now retired and he moves home to Boise and basically, you know, wreaks havoc in the life of his brother, played by Fred Savage, and his father, William Devane, and who have their own law firm. So it just sounds like, oh God, like just a bad, like it's just not going to be funny. It's just going to be one of those shows where like, someone comes in and is just annoying to people just trying to live their lives. Mm-hmm. But it's actually hilarious. Every episode starts with a scene from The Grindr, from the TV show. Mm-hmm. And it is, again, it's like, it's incredibly meta. It's a lot of, especially as someone who watches a lot of TV law shows, that's something, one of my kind of, things that I've enjoyed in the past. So it, you know, it really, really pokes fun at all of the terrible law drama ridiculousness that happens. It plays it out so nicely, like not in a real, like in the, like you have this really insane character, but everyone's reacting to him in a very like normal way, which I really appreciate. Like, so it's not like he comes in and everyone starts acting crazy too. Like he's ridiculous and they're all just completely normal people. And it's really, really funny, but it got canceled after the first season. So there's 22 episodes and then it ends, but it ends kind of perfectly. And it's actually of perfect that it got canceled there because it's so TV self-referential. The fact that it got canceled is kind of perfect. There's so many moments, like even Wes, again, like, you know, he's always on the other side of the computer, only hearing little snips of it, but he was laughing and he would sort of like drift over to watch it because it's really funny. It's a lot smarter than I thought it was going to be. So I enjoyed that a lot. And then I just started watching the Santa Clarita Diet, which is the new zombie show that's on Netflix. And a ton of the cast.
Drew Barrymore and what's his face?
Timothy Oliphant, who's on The Grindr.
Oh, okay.
And Natalie Morales, who formerly of Parks and Rec, is also on The Grindr, is also in this one. And the woman who plays the neighbor is the wife on The Grindr. I mean, it's like, so I'm like, is this the same casting director?
Yeah,
because all these same people just like moved over from The Grindr to the new zombie show. So, I think I'm like 4 episodes into it and it's funny and it's weird. It's just, this realtor couple.
I saw the trailer for it, but I haven't started watching it.
Yeah. And it's like, they haven't explained at all yet. Like she just one day becomes a zombie. They don't, like, there's never any explanation of how it happens. And it's just about like how their family changes to around the fact that she's now a zombie and has to eat people.
Has to eat people.
So it's very, very, very silly. It's a little bit gross. I definitely was covering my eyes for some of it. But it's mostly just played for as a comedy. I think the guy who created it is Ruben Fleischer, who made Zombieland. Which is, I mean, again, like, you know, I don't really love horror stuff, but I've seen Zombieland several times, and I think it's a really funny movie, and it, like, takes the whole zombie premise and turns it into something that's really humorous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure where the show is gonna go, because right now it's all about, like, the first several episodes are just about the family and the adjustment to it, but I assume it will start to get broader so that you start to understand, like, what's happening to her, why is it happening, because they never explain it. It's just like, oh, I'm just a zombie now.
It happens.
anyway, but it's, so far, I like it, I mean, I really liked Timothy Oliphant, and he has a great bit on the Grindr, too, where he's playing himself, and he's hilarious. So in this, he's playing, he reminds me of, he's playing kind of like, it's like he's playing the Bill Paxton character from Big Love, or he's trying to be that man with his whole family, like, kind of falling apart. There's just sort of that vibe to that, this character. Anyway, but it looks pretty funny so far, but a little bit gross, but like not so gross that I can't watch it. So
that's kind of a good segue, because I was listening to all those books about the FLDS. I went back to watch some Big Love.
Oh yeah.
And watching it with an eye toward that stuff. And that's been really interesting. So I'm watching a little bit of Big Love over, not the whole thing. which I watched before.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, if you're like into the drama of polygamy.
Who wouldn't be? It's pretty dramatic.
It is very dramatic. Going with the true crime theme, I'm watching People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Which just got added to Netflix.
I still haven't finished watching it, so I gotta get back on that.
I'm to the part where the 911 calls, Nicole's 911 calls, just got leaked to the press. Or the press requested them, and they're now being aired. And after the Bronco chase and everything. So I remember this from when I... Because it happened in 91. I was 11. So I... That was the only thing on TV that day. And it made me really mad. The Bronco chase. Also...
Well, I mentioned it when I started watching the show, too. That what happened for me was that it was when Wes and I were flying from Chicago back to Vermont. Because we were prepping for a wedding. And it was on the TV in the airport when we were in Chicago. It was still on the TV when we got to Wes's parents' house in Vermont. And I remember standing in his parents' living room watching this thing going, like, how much longer could this possibly go on for?
Yeah, so, Cuba Gooding Jr. plays O.J. Simpson. I think he's good, although I don't really see him as O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
But he is very good. David Schwimmer
as Robert Kardashian.
Just kills me. Especially when he takes his kids out to Chin Chin's for Father's Day.
Yeah.
He's giving them that
whole speech about
not being famous for nothing.
Yeah.
It's like,
Although, I don't know. I haven't finished the series. One of the things I didn't like about it, though, was how much of a mealy-mouth, like, nice guy they were trying to make Kardashian in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just thought, like, really? Like, is he...
Yeah,
I felt like they were trying to make him, like, embody any sort of sympathetic side toward OJ, to such a strong degree, though.
Yeah. Like, in the series, he's portrayed as never really questioning whether or not, well, to the point where I am, which is not, I think it's maybe halfway through, like, he hasn't questioned whether or not OJ did it or not.
Right.
He's just like, of course he didn't do it. He's my
friend.
He's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know? But it's really interesting because I was like 11 and 12, like when that whole thing was going on, and then watching it as a much older adult and like realizing like what that meant for, I mean, what it still means, and it's kind of timely as well. Cause they started with the Rodney King.
Right. With the LA riots.
And the LA riots. And then they skipped to this and it's 2 years later. And I was like, oh, well that's kind of politically still relevant.
Yeah.
especially right now. So it's kind of interesting watching it as an older person actually understanding what's going on more. I was just like, I mean, personally, I think he did it just because of the evidence.
I still remember the day the verdict came in because it was pretty shortly after we'd moved to Seattle. And I remember coming home from work and watching it on TV and standing in the living room and just like not really believing what I was saying. Yeah. The whole thing was such an insane circus. It's kind of amazing to reflect on it again, like how the entire country for a year was gripped by this ridiculous circus of a trial.
Yeah. And like how DNA evidence wasn't really
established.
Yeah, people didn't know about it. And now like everybody knows about it. If you just watch TV, like everyone knows about DNA evidence. So it's pretty interesting. I think I'm about halfway through. Mm-hmm. So Sarah Paulson's really good as Marsha Clark too.
She's doing a great bazillion awards for it.
Yeah, she's really good. That hair though.
That hair. Yeah. Well, that's the hair.
I'm watching The Wire again. I picked that back up.
Oh,
I'm on season four. I'm almost done with it.
Oh, I love that show.
I really like it. So it's when they're in this school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good heartbreak season.
Yes, that's very good. I watched season one and two of Broad City because I'm late to that party.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, queen. Oh, my God. It's so good. I feel like I understand millennials now. A little bit. Yeah. Like, I understand the kids I work with. I call them kids. They're millennials.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm aged out of millennials by, like, 3 or 4 years or something like that.
One of my coworkers, I heard him, like, in the room next to me saying, like, something, I'm so old. I feel so old. And I was like, Sean, didn't you just turn 21? He's like, yes.
Maybe you should stop partying all night and then coming straight to work.
Shut up. Just shut up. Stop telling me. Call me in 25 years and tell me how old you feel.
Oh my God.
Shut up.
There's this kid, Mike, and he's like a baby. He's 23. I think he's just turned 23. And I was talking about my favorite murder, and I was talking about Broad City. He's like, oh my God, I love both those things. And I was like, wow. Okay. Because I'm like so much older. Whatever.
Yeah. You watched that?
You watched that?
It's like my coworkers when I say I don't like One Direction. They just do not understand. Why? Why don't you like One Direction? Because they suck? I'm like, but why? I'm like, because it's not music. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
And you back away slowly.
I know. They're just like, but why?
They're going to turn feral and
attack you.
I watched Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. It was okay.
Yeah.
It had a couple good moments.
The trailer didn't grab me.
I
don't know what it is. I love Tina Fey and I love Amy Poehler, but generally when you put them together, it's not my favorite thing.
No, what I liked about it was Tina Fey playing, like, not Tina Fey.
Yeah, the crazy one.
Yeah, she's like the party girl, single mom, always, you know, doing bad stuff. And then one time she tries to, like, take charge and make sure everything's going okay. She totally screws it up.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was fine. I mean, it was something I didn't really have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And I am the pretty thing that lives in the walls, which is a creepy Netflix movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like Shirley Jackson meets The Yellow Wallpaper. I feel like those two things. It is creepy.
I think I saw a trailer for it.
Yeah. It is very well done. So this young woman, she's a live-in hospice nurse, and she goes to this house where there's this woman who's, she's supposed to caretake this woman who's ill, her health is declining, she's pretty much bedridden, and she just lives in this house until she passes away. But the woman was an author, and she wrote books, kind of like Shirley Jackson, and it's like a cast of like 3 people. She starts experiencing weird stuff in the house, and it kind of alternates between like kind of creepy things that happen to the nurse with overlapping with a story that the author is writing like decades before.
Right.
So, it was right up my alley. I really enjoyed it. And it's really beautifully shot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, if I'm remembering correctly, there's nothing gory about it at all, which is kind of my favorite hard-to-find horror movies, where it's just, like, quiet and super creepy and not...
Not gross.
Not disgusting. Yeah. Just, like, super creepy is what I like.
And it's Ruth Wilson as the lead in that, who...
Yes.
Like, I knew from the Luther series. But I also... I had tried watching The Affair. Like, after the first episode, I hated them all so much. Mm. And Amanda said something on Instagram about watching The Affair, so I messaged her and was like, I can't get past the first episode. I hate them all. Is it worth it? And she's like, no, it's terrible. I only watch, like, I hate watch the show. I don't like it at all. So then I was like, all right, send that back to Netflix. Yeah. Done.
But it's good. It's streaming on Netflix. If you like kind of supernatural horror things and pretty cinematography, Shirley Jackson, the yellow wallpaper, like that. It's kind of what it is.
Cool.
The last thing, which I remembered while we were talking, is Beware the Slender Man, which is, I mean, it's a downer. I'm kind of sorry I'm ending on this. I'm sorry, you guys. It's a documentary about the two girls, I think, in Minnesota.
Oh, who killed the other girl.
Who, well, they didn't kill her. They stabbed her. They tried to kill her. Because they were doing it for this fictional character called the Slender Man, which is this kind of horror, supernatural being that's was created on the internet. and it's... So this is the thing that actually happened. They talk about the mythology of Slender Man, which is like a new urban legend thing, and why the girls... believed it, how the girls became friends, and then it turns out that one of the girls has mental health issues, which were not really known about before, like, the extent that they were before this stabbing happened. So it's a downer. Yeah. It's really interesting, though, you can look at it through a bunch of different lenses, like the mental health lens and how that is just messed up in the United States, like getting people help for those things and catching, especially in children, catching them early. Cause the girls were 12. and then from an urban legend standpoint in the internet, like monitoring what kids are doing on the internet. Yeah. And how obsessed these girls were with the story of Slender Man. And depending on what version of Slender Man you were into, it was either a helpful character taking care of children or a really malevolent one. Yeah. And so the girls said that they were, in order to be proxies, which by that I think they meant like servants of Slender Man, they would have to kill this girl to show him they were worthy. And then they were caught walking to, supposedly Slender Man's house is in the middle of this national forest. So they were gonna walk to this national forest that was kind of nearby and show up at his mansion there and say what they did. And then they were gonna be able to disappear. So it's really interesting. It's sad and it's kind of creepy. Like, the urban legend part I found pretty creepy. Yeah. But it was a good documentary. I feel like it wasn't really biased. You know, like, yes, the girls did this horrible thing. Why did they do this horrible thing? And kind of what does that say about us as people? Which, uplifting.
Yeah.
I could have started with that before the People versus OJ thing. But yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff because...
You were sick?
I was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so yeah, next week's Madrona, so we should have some fun stuff to report back on after that.
I'm going to sleep over at Monica's. Oh. I'll be there on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I'm excited. Show notes will be on doublenet.net, and you can find us on our Ravelry group, Doublenet Podcast Fans.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.